Presenting radio's foremost laboratory of new writing and production techniques, the Columbia Workshop. Today, three short plays on a single theme, Three's Company. Script and direction by Fletcher Markle. Musical score composed and conducted by Frederick Steiner. The Columbia Workshop presents Three's Company.
It's lovely out here. Don't you think it's lovely, dear?
Yes.
Sun going down, the first night sounds, that little breeze, cool.
Yes.
I'm glad we took this place. Aren't you glad, Norman?
No. What? Oh, yes, I suppose.
Norman, dear, what's the matter? You've been jittering all day.
Have I?
This is a vacation, dear. You must relax.
Yes.
After all, what's the use of coming down to the country? This little place, $55 a month, all the trouble if you don't relax here.
I know.
Norman, what's wrong? Aren't you feeling well? You're dyspeptic, isn't it?
No, I feel quite well, thank you, Lillian, dear. Quite well.
Oh, for a moment, dear.
I feel very rested, really. Refresh.
Oh, your holiday's only begun. Another month.
Oh, a few days are enough for me, you know.
Nonsense.
Plenty for me.
You wait and see. In another month, 6 weeks, you'll be a brand new man. Man you haven't known for years. Oh, yes, it's very good for you to get away, dear. Away from the city and the university and the apartment.
I miss them.
Have it, darling. Only habit.
No, I do actually miss them, Lillian. I'm not a man for a long holiday, no.
That's habit, too. You haven't had a real one for years.
I've never needed it.
I know better.
Thank you, Lillian. I'm happier at my work at the university than anywhere.
Norman.
And when the letter came from the extension department this morning...
Letter? I didn't know there was a letter.
It was from Dr. Rankin.
What did he...
Sedgwick is ill and can't take his summer seminar.
Oh.
Rankin was at his wit's end about replacing him. He asked me...
Norman, you're not accepting. You...
Yes.
But, Norman, you promised to. We've taken this place now, paid in advance. Norman, we can't...
I can come down for weekends, dear, every weekend. It's only 3 hours on the train.
No, I won't let you do it, Norman. I won't let you ruin your health this way. You're half a man, dear, living in your books and your work. We never have any time together anymore. After all, my darling, you're 40 now, and we did plan to have a... I mean...
It's too late, Lillian. I mailed my acceptance at noon when I went into the village for the milk and eggs.
You... Oh, Norman, why? Why?
Rankin was in a very difficult position, Lillian. There's a large enrollment for this seminar.
But Hopkins could have taken it. Oh, Gunther could have taken it.
It's only for 6 weeks, and I can come down for the weekends, dear, every weekend.
But that's half the summer. What am I going to do for the rest of the week while you're buried in Plato and Sophocles and Herodotus and all these other...
You can have Janet O'Donnell down. You can have Mrs. Morley.
And what do I do with them on your weekends? Put them out in the... Out there.
They can come down for a few days at a time.
They're taking holidays on their own. All sensible people are taking vacations.
Harry and Edith Morley are staying in town, then.
Norman, for heaven's sakes, I don't want them. I want you. When do you go?
Sunday or Monday. I'll have to find out about the trains.
Only 4 more days. Oh, Norman, you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
They've been 4 very wonderful days, Lillian. Very restful indeed.
Yes, Norman. You should have had 40 wonderful days. More coffee?
No, thank you. I've been drinking too much coffee at lunchtime.
Pass up your dishes, then, please.
Oh, of course.
What time's your train?
8 o'clock.
We'll have to get up at 6 tomorrow.
No.
Of course we will, Norman. It's bad for your stomach when you have to rush.
No, it's tonight, dear. 8 o'clock tonight. The train comes through here.
Tonight?
Yes.
But there's a Monday morning train, Norman. There's an 8 o'clock train tomorrow morning, dear. Get you in plenty of time. You said your first lecture wasn't until 2. You can go to the apartment and get cleaned up and have lunch.
I thought I'd go tonight, though. I want to look over some of the books.
Books? Norman, you know those books backwards. You know that whole course backwards.
I just want to familiarize myself.
Couldn't you stay tonight? Just tonight, Norman, there's a sort of carnival in the village, a fair. All the farmers around here, I thought we could walk down there.
I'd like to, Lillian, dear. I'd like to.
But you want to look over your books.
Yes.
You want to take the 8 o'clock train and spend the night with your books instead of me. You want to get back to your books. All those shelves in the front room. You miss your books and you want to be with them again. You want to touch your books. You want to fondle them. You want to make love to your books.
Lillian.
They're like a presence, Norman Campbell. Wherever we go, whatever we do, they're with us like a presence. Like a familiar. Always the three of us. You and me. And the terrible ghost of all your dreadful grief.
Lillian, dear, please. Please, I didn't know. No, you felt this way.
I do.
If I hadn't accepted, if I hadn't promised Dr. Rankin, I'd almost...
Almost. But you wouldn't. And you never will.
Forgive me.
How can I? How? Oh.
Will you come down to the train with me tonight?
Yes, Norman. You know I will.
It's almost time. Train's been here 5 minutes now. I'd better get on.
Yes. Norman, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to let go like that this afternoon. I was just so terribly disappointed. I look forward to this holiday you know.
I know. I'm sorry, too.
Kiss me.
Oh, of course. I'll be down next Saturday, 4 o'clock local.
I'll be here.
Will you... Are you having anyone down during the week? Edith Morley, perhaps?
No, I'll be alone. I don't want anyone.
Couldn't you?
I'll find lots to do. I can putter in the garden, that old garden. That was one of the things I wanted you to do.
We can do it together on the weekend.
Or I can read. I can always read, Norman, all those books you brought down.
Oh! Hurry, darling. Hurry. Nancy.
Bye, honey.
This car. I haven't got much choice. It's a coach, but we... Oh! Sorry. Excuse me, but can I get these bags up here?
Oh, Elliot, I'm right out of breath. It isn't a coach, is it?
No time to be choosy. Come on, give me your hand. Up you go. That's it. Isn't there a porter on this car?
You'd better get on too, Norman.
Yes.
What's the tip? Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, Lillian, dear. Will you?
Yes, I'll meet the train Saturday.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye, dear.
Well, we made it. Comfortable?
Not very. Day coat seats are like court benches. They don't want you to be comfortable.
Chair cars are full, Manson. Well, what I mean is the coats and the big blanket are here beside me. Why don't you come and sit beside me instead of opposite me and pack the coats and the blanket behind you like pillows?
The way you say things, Elliot. Sweet. All right.
I'll move over. You can wedge in by the window.
Oh.
Look, like this. Don't stew about it.
Well.
Darling, fold it. Fold the blanket. Here.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Much better having you over here.
Ooh. It's an absolute thrill to put your feet up.
That probably won't last long.
I know. Somebody will come and sit opposite us.
Somebody always does.
Some fat old man and his fat old wife.
Tuck.
And a fat little boy with an orange.
I'd like an orange myself.
You would. It might be a soldier. A soldier. They're still coming back. It said in the paper about more coming back from the Pacific. It's so... It must be thrilling for them.
Yeah.
I won't mind having soldiers come and sit opposite us. I'd hate a fat old man and a fat old wife. But I won't mind a soldier. I won't mind if he stalls and sleeps and snores. It's so wonderful that the last ones are coming back.
Yeah. Surprises you, Nancy.
Surprise? Why surprise?
The seriousness, darling. You haven't spoken seriously of anything for so long.
I read the papers every day now.
Now you're being serious about the last ones coming home, what you said.
It affects me that way. It's been a long time for them. Not that I don't love or think less seriously of my wonderful 4F.
Haven't called me your wonderful 4F for ages.
Haven't I?
Ages.
Darling.
Did you enjoy our holiday?
Oh, you know I did. I liked the country instead of going to the lake like we used to, that mad little cottage. So dirty.
Yes.
I think it's always just as well to have a short holiday before the summer vacation. A month or so before. You can enjoy a vacation then. But I'm glad to be going back. I missed everybody.
I didn't.
Carl and Marty and Peter, Jimmy Lanford, Chris and Len.
How about your friends, the Everett girls? Zelda and Luella. And Carl's wife and Peter's. Did you miss them too?
Don't start that.
You started it. You gave yourself away again.
Please don't let this go through all that again.
I'm just asking.
You asked all that last night. And the night before. And the night before that.
Is it always just the men? Is it always just the blessed men you miss when we go away? Or even when we don't see anybody, don't go out to dinner or to a party for a few weeks.
Elliot.
Don't you miss anybody else but Carl and Marty and Len and Jimmy, what's his name, Lanford?
Elliot, please.
Didn't you miss your mother this time, or your hairdresser, or your funny little man at the grocery store?
Please stop. Please stop.
How do you suppose I feel? Now that I know about it, now that I'm not blind to it anymore, how do you suppose I feel when I know you've got some man on your mind? Carl, Carl, Carl. You didn't think anything could Carl for weeks last Christmas. I watched you. I saw you.
Elliot.
So did Joan. She watched you. She saw you. But she couldn't say to you, leave him alone. Leave Carl alone. He's my husband. He's not your husband. Please, just leave my Carl alone. You're prettier than Joan. You're smarter.
Oh, please don't start all this again.
Why shouldn't I? It hurts me. Why shouldn't I want to do something about it? Eh? Answer me. Eh?
I can't answer you. I don't know.
Look. Look at the lovely little lovebird. Hello, you little lovebird.
Beat it.
My name is Stuart Stevenson. Will you talk to me?
I said beat it. Scram.
Okay. Okay. I can take a hint. I'm not wanted here. I sing. I have a fair voice and I sing. But I'm not wanted here. It's always the same.
Beat it, will you?
Yes, indeed.
Can't think of an answer, eh?
Let's not talk about it anymore.
I want to talk about it. What's the matter with me? Won't I do? Why did you marry me if you thought I wouldn't do? Why did we have children, two children, if you thought it wasn't going to be a good thing, you and me? Two swell children that you want to leave behind with your mother when you go away for a holiday. Why?
I wanted to be with you. Children have their vacation in August at the beach. I wanted to be with you.
Don't tell me that. Don't sit there and tell me a lie like that.
It isn't a lie. I love you. I like being alone with you.
You like being alone with me? That's very funny. My Lord, we haven't been alone together for over a year, Nancy.
What do you mean?
I mean we haven't been alone together. He's always there.
Who?
Somebody else, some man or other.
Who?
Oh, it doesn't matter what his name is. I don't care what his name is. Carl, Marty, Jimmy, Lanford, Irving, Philman, Tom, Dick, Harry, Joe.
Stop. Oh, stop. You know, I've never been... Oh, you know, I've never...
No, I know you wouldn't. Not yet you wouldn't, anyway.
Not ever. I've always been faithful to you, Ellie.
Say that again.
I've always been faithful to you.
What? What do you call being faithful? What conditions do you attach to the state of being faithful? Merely toying with the idea of how it would be, but not actually going ahead with what you're thinking?
Peanuts?
No.
Chocolate bars?
Faithful. The funniest thing I ever heard.
You're being terribly cruel about this.
I've got a right to be cruel. Any man has a right to be cruel when a third man walks into his marriage.
What?
He defends himself. Doesn't matter how, he simply defends himself. Cruelty happens, like fist fights. I'll have a few of those yet.
No, you won't.
Not the way it is now, I won't, no. But they'll come.
What third man? There's never been anybody.
Any one of them. All of them. Each one is a third man, potentially. The other corner of the triangle. And they're all a third man. All put together, they make a third corner.
You're being very silly and melodramatic.
Am I?
I've never given you the slightest grounds to suspect.
No, no, of course not. You're being afraid to. You yourself are afraid.
Yes. Yes, I am. I love you. I love our children.
Oh, let's not have that again.
I mean it. I love you, darling. Look at me. I love you, Ellie. I love you.
I think you do.
You know I do. And little David, Gretchen, the children, I love them.
But you're so very beautiful. So very... Men love you. Carl loves you, he thinks. And Len, Jimmy Lanford, and Marty. At a party, at a picnic, and out dancing, they all think they love you, and that means something to you. Any one of them, or all of them together, that means something to you. Doesn't it?
Yes. Sometimes.
Always.
Only sometimes. Darling, please, Ellie. I've never... Honestly, I've never, ever...
I know. I know you haven't. But when you do, and finally you know you will, it's going to be a whole lot simpler than it is right now.
Did you ever see so many people in a station, Harold?
Well, this is the end of the line. It's a big city, after all.
Oh, isn't it exciting?
This end out, please. This end out.
Will you take the big bag, Elliot?
I gave it to the porter.
Oh, I didn't notice.
I'll take the coats and blanket.
Thank you.
Take it easy. Let the crowd get off first.
Watch your step, please. Watch your step. Thank you, sir. Watch your step, please.
Come on, Harold. There they are over by the post. Uncle Andrew!
Exactly what I said at the time. Bartlett, I said that's not an ethical way of doing it.
Stan, here I am. Stan, don't look so worried.
Oh, there you are. Hello, Carol.
Hello.
I hoped you'd come down.
Did you think I wouldn't?
Well, is that your new suit?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't take them long to make it up.
No, they're very good that way. How was the trip?
Oh, fine, wonderful. Best convention we've had in years.
Good. You feel like kissing me, Stan?
Oh, sure. Sorry.
Sorry? That's no kind of talk.
Got a thousand things running through my mind. Here.
That's a little better. You've been drinking, huh?
Oh, I had a few in the compartment with C.R. Comstock. The Comstock Joyce, I think, you know?
Uh-huh. Where's your other bag, the big one?
I gave it to a red cab. It's going out to taxi.
Oh.
I promised Comstock we'd drop up for a drink.
Not tomorrow night, I hope. I told the Jamesons we'd give them a call, and I know...
No, this is tonight. On the way home.
You mean right now?
Yeah. What's the matter? Oh, look, let's step out of the way of this mob.
Right
here.
Now, Stan?
Well, what's the matter? Did you have something arranged?
Well, not arranged exactly, but I thought... I mean, after all, Stan, you just got home. It's been nearly 2 weeks.
Well, then, what's another night?
But, darling, is it all that important?
Oh, I wouldn't say that important. No. Pardon me.
Stupid.
But I mean, they're all important when you come down to it. Men like him. T.R. Comstock's a good contact.
But why all the rush? He lives here, doesn't he? There's lots of time.
Carol, really, Comstock's a very influential man. Anybody'd jump at the chance to drop in at his place for a drink.
I wouldn't.
I only just met him on the train last night, and he likes me. Invitations like this don't grow on trees.
Stan, stop babbling. You've been away nearly 2 weeks. I want to see you. I want to talk to you. Really, darling?
But we'll be together, Carol. Look, we're not going to be late or anything like that.
Promise?
I promise you. We won't stay a minute after midnight.
It's 11 o'clock now.
Oh, please, Carol, there he is.
Over here, Tom. We're over here.
Oh, hello there. Sorry, I had to finish off that chat with Callahan.
Solved all the problems?
Everyone. Every little one.
Ah, good. Tom?
Yeah?
I'd like you to meet my wife.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Coldwell? Heard a lot about you.
Mr. Comstock, I've been hearing about you, too.
You're going to drop up for a nightcap, I hope.
Well,
you bet we are, Tom.
Good. Let's go along then, shall we?
Yes, it's getting late, isn't it?
Funniest part of the whole story. Drunk as he was, Cummings was perfectly right about most of the 11th floor being occupied by convention delegates. Only the elevator had let Cummings off at the 7th floor. I guess he hadn't said 11 very clearly. And he banged on at least a dozen doors along the hall, waking people up before he could be convinced he was on the wrong floor and nobody was interested in the party. It was 4 o'clock in the morning.
Must have been quite a shock for him.
Oh, it was. Believe me, it was. It was.
Not so loud, though, huh, Stan? Our sensitive neighbors.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
You forgot last night, too, when we got home from the Comstock. This morning, really.
Did I? I don't remember.
You're a little like your friend, Mr. Cummings. It was 4 o'clock this morning when we got in, you know.
Oh, say, how did it get that late?
Just did. You two talked, and it simply got later. Mrs. Comstock was practically yawning in my face. I'll bet she hates me.
Oh, go on. You made a big impression with her. She was crazy about your black suit.
I didn't notice.
Sure she was. It pays to dress well, I think. And if I can work up this deal with Comstock, I'll buy you half a dozen suits like that one. Nothing but the best, honey. Oh, say, that's the new campaign slogan the Malcolm Best outfit's going to use. Nothing but the best. How about that? Isn't that a peach?
You told me at dinner, Stan.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
You know, there are really a lot of good slogans this year. I noticed particularly that the trend is towards simplicity. Keep it simple. That's the good word. You know, Carol, I wouldn't be surprised
Stan,
at all
don't.
If I...
Don't go on like this, please. Don't say any more.
Why, Carol, I... Carol, what's wrong, darling?
You know what's wrong. Oh, it's no good, Stan. We're no good. We don't work out. You know that. You know it's no good, and there's no use trying to cover it up or hide or run away or talk around it or anything.
I'm sorry, Carol. I'm sorry.
All the nonsense about that Comstock man last night, a good contact. We had to go up there, had to accept his invitation because he was important, had a lot of influence, the whole silly, ridiculous business. Stan, you gave yourself away. It hasn't been so very long, but I know you. I know that busy, bumbling businessman isn't you. You never cared about people like Comstock. You just couldn't stand facing me last night, Stan, that was all. You just couldn't take it, so you got drunk. You knew it was all over, didn't you, Stan? You knew it before you left for your stupid convention, didn't you, Stan?
I'm sorry, Carol.
You said that. Last night at the train, you said it. I just wish we'd come straight home and you'd said all the rest of it. Do you think I slept last night? This morning?
Carol, I couldn't. I couldn't say it.
Scared, Stan? Afraid?
Yes.
Well, I was afraid, too. I'm in the same boat, Stan, after all. Aren't I?
That's what you said the night I left for the convention.
The very same boat. Didn't you believe me?
I couldn't. Carol, I didn't... I couldn't even believe myself.
But you do now, don't you? Coming back after nearly 2 weeks. 12 days, exactly. I hope you do.
Yes.
It hurts, too, doesn't it?
Yes.
Falling out of love hurts almost as much as getting into it. If we ever were in love, were we ever in love, Stan?
I thought so.
So did I, very much. What happened in 11 months? Or is it a year? It's nearly a year now.
3 more weeks.
What happened?
I don't know.
What do you feel like, Stan? Do you feel guilty?
Guilty?
As if you'd committed a crime, stolen something. It's like that, isn't it? and someone pointing at you.
Someone pointing? I don't get you.
That confuses you, does it?
What do you mean, who?
I don't quite know who. Who exactly, I mean.
That doesn't make sense.
Doesn't it? That's what I feel, though. Someone pointing. Maybe it's someone you make up.
Oh, just someone you make up, is it? Just someone out of your head?
Out of your conscience, I think.
Conscience?
Yes, conscience. You failed at marriage. You were no good and you failed. That's what you feel.
Oh, Carol, darling, please, can't we...
No, don't, Sam, don't touch me. I promised myself I wouldn't let us cry on each other's shoulders.
Oh, why, what... What do you mean you promised yourself? When?
A week ago, maybe more, I've forgotten. While you were at the... I've been thinking about it a lot, you know.
I'm sorry.
Stop being sorry! Or maybe you should be. Oh, I don't know. I've done a lot of thinking, all right. All the thinking there is. Haven't you?
No. At least I try to tell myself I haven't. I tried to convince myself there wasn't any need. I kept figuring there was something missed out. Something important, a clue, some little thing somewhere that's been overlooked.
I tried that.
People don't just fall out of love, boom.
They don't. I thought that. Oh, I tried everything, Stan.
Is there someone else, Carol?
No, you know there isn't anyone else. Oh, Stan, it isn't somebody else for you, is it?
No, nobody, nothing. I just feel...
Somebody else around?
No.
Someone pointing. Anyone?
No. Oh, maybe that, I don't know. Carol, people don't do this. They don't dissolve like this, collapse.
Looks as if they're exceptions, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, I know it looks that way, but is it true? Carol, is it real and true, or are we being silly and stupid about it? Are we? What are we going to do?
I don't know, Stan.
I don't know either. I don't know. I don't know at all.
A good cry'd help me. I know that. A cry'd certainly do me a lot of good right now. Help me cry, Stan. Help me cry.
Columbia Workshop has just presented three short plays on a single theme. Three's Company was written and directed by Fletcher Markle. The special workshop score was composed and conducted by Frederick Steiner. Appearing in today's cast were the following players: Grace Matthews, Edley Rennie, John Draney, Patricia Jowdry, Joseph Wiseman, Connie Lemke, Robert Dryden, Peggy Stanley, Jim Goss, and Bob Healy. Next week, the Columbia Workshop, which was first broadcast exactly 10 years ago, will turn to Hollywood for the first of a number of workshop programs that will originate in the film colony this summer. Tune in next week over most of these same CBS stations for Frank Morgan and the Pied Piper of Hamelin, as written and orchestrated by Artie Shaw and directed in Hollywood by Irving Reese, the original director of the workshop back in 1936. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.